Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So the president keeps saying that energy prices are coming down. That's great news. Absolutely. It makes me happy. And this is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And we're going to be live there next Friday for our final show of the year, our Christmas spectacular. So make sure you join us Friday, December 19th, fifth floor ballroom. You don't need a reservation. You don't need a ticket. Just come and watch the show and hang out and spend time with us. It'll be a lot of fun. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Makes me happy, but I want to know more. So here to talk about it with us, of course, Daniel Turner, the founder and executive director of Power the Future. And he's the best when it comes to talking all things energy and fighting the commies. It's been a while, my man. How are you?
Rich, it's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me back.
I'm just, you know, I've been trying to find Buffalo Trace lately. I can't find it. We're back to that. The games they're playing, I don't know what's going on here.
It's, you know, everyone's buying them for gifts also, right? It's Christmas time. You got a brother-in-law, you don't know what to get. A nice bottle of bourbon is always it's always a safe gift, right? Even if they don't drink bourbon, they can re-gift it. But yeah, if you got any extra bottles laying around, I'll give you my address. Just send them my way.
I went into two different liquor stores today trying to find it. They both said, no. The one guy wasn't even polite about it. I said, hey, do you have Buffalo Trace? He goes, no. I was like, okay, yeah. Good talk. Thanks a lot for that. I appreciate that. It's great.
You know those commercials that how you've become your parents, which they're very funny, right?
Yeah, I love those. That guy is the best. Dr. Rick?
Brilliant commercials. I identify with that. And that happened to me the other day, 2 days before Thanksgiving at the liquor store. And this young woman walked in and she was at the bourbon rack and someone said, do you need help? And she was like, no, I just need something to make a bourbon pecan pie. And she grabbed a bottle of Michter's and I jumped in. I was like, whoa, I'm sorry. Let's have a conversation. You're not going to buy a $90 bottle of bourbon if you need a quarter of a cup you're not going to ruin a Michter's a pecan pie. And I was like, oh my God, I'm that commercial. I'm totally interfering in this woman's life unprovoked. It was
Yeah, but in that case, I think you were a hero. And not all heroes wear capes, all right? Because you saved some precious bourbon for the rest of us. So look at it that way, all right?
Thank you.
It's great to see you, buddy. So the president said, he reiterated this a little earlier today, energy prices are coming down. So I'll ask you, are they coming down? What's the deal? How are we looking?
Gas prices are definitely down. I think the average right now is $2.94 a gallon. I saw someone tweeted at me just a photo in Oklahoma. They paid $1.98 a gallon.
Ooh, nice.
Which is remarkable. But that's just one component of energy prices is oil prices. And oil markets are future markets, right? They look to not just what we're consuming now, but what do we see happening 6 months, a year in the future? And if you're in the oil and gas business, you see nothing but opportunity. Maybe too much, right? $55 a barrel oil is great for us. It becomes unprofitable at a certain point. And so there is definitely a risk of it getting too cheap. We're not there yet. But that's just one component, right? Then think of all the millions of products that are made from oil and gas, and how they have the pricing of those things has caught up to us. So, you know, you buy something in the store and you're like, boy, this is really expensive. Well, that was probably made 2 years ago, and it was made when gas was $6 or $5.70 a gallon, right? When oil was at $140 a barrel, and the price of that trickled in, and that's what you're paying now. So we're headed in a good direction on everything. We're not there yet, though.
You know, it's interesting because I watch Landman, and Billy Bob Thornton explains that very well. How you want the price of oil to be at a certain point. If it goes too low, it's not good. It goes too high, it's not good. It was really. I think you like that show too, right?
I don't watch that show. The only reason why is because I had to cut things out of my life, and it's on one of those streaming servers.
Oh, yeah, Paramount.
Notre Dame,
yeah.
Hardly this year, because Notre Dame now plays on Peacock. My whole life they played on NBC, and now their games are on the Peacock app, and I'm like, I can't buy one more app. So, no, I don't watch that show. I'm sorry.
Well, if you had a chance Monday night to watch the Eagles get as usual, destroy our hopes and dreams, you could have watched the Eagles as characters from Monsters, Inc. and streamed it on Disney Plus.
I could have. There are so many things out there. There's so much content. It's hard to keep up with, right? I still get angry sometimes. I go back and remember when TV was free. They made their money on commercials and you dealt with it. But the only thing that it cost you was electricity and buying the actual box. Mm-hmm. And now nothing is free. You know, it's the few streaming services I have now have commercials.
Yeah.
And I said, well, the whole purpose of the streaming service was to not have commercials. And they're like, but now they have cable has commercials. Remember back when we were kids, cable took forever to get to Queens because of the mafia. And we were the last people in the world to have cable. But when it finally arrived, they were like, the purpose of cable is that you don't have to watch commercials. That's why you pay a monthly service. Well, that's gone. Right. So I can't with any more streaming services. I can't. I just can't.
I think, by the way, that may make a great show on HBO of why it took forever for cable to get to Queens because of the mafia. It sounds like a whole new streaming show as we're talking about it.
Mafia did a lot of things in Queens and in New York. And you know what? We're headed back towards those days because I'm not by any means pro-mafia, but the mafia normally steps in when there are abuses of whether it's government or why did the mafia get involved in bootlegging? Because people wanted alcohol.
Yeah.
Right. Why does the mafia get involved in gambling? Because a lot of times people want to play cards and casinos used to be predominantly illegal. Right. The one of the strongest mafias in New York City right now, which is kind of Chinese related, is to protect cigarettes. And you say, mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? It's because everyone from Bloomberg on decided we're going to stop you from smoking. And we add a tax. And cigarettes are $25 a pack. Well, you know what? I got a guy. He's a cousin in Carolina. He gets them for $3. I'll send them to you for $6. Well, now I need a whole network to distribute my illegal black market cigarettes. You got a mafia, right?
That's so, right.
The mafia, we're headed back that with Mom Dami because he's going to try to make so many things free that he's going to make them dangerous and unobtainable. And we're going to see the rise of the mafia again. We always do under bad governance. And New York's headed back in that way.
I actually do root for the mafia, just for the record. But, you know, it's probably because my last name ends in a vowel. Daniel Turner is with us, founder and executive director of Power of the Future. It's great to have him on the show today, as always. Now, so getting back to energy prices and specifically regarding automobiles, you must have been thrilled last week when the president announced, or the week before, whatever it was, that they were getting rid of all the stupid CAFE standards. You must have loved that.
Absolutely. And I wish he would have done it in the first term, because these were Obama era rules. Biden made them worse, but it was Obama who put these in. And what they do is, this is abuse of government, right? I don't want people to use X product. It's legal. So what I do is I come up with some reason. We just mentioned cigarettes, right? Cigarettes are legal, but if we try to make them so expensive and so, and we just punish people because we don't think you should smoke. We can argue forever about whether or not you have the right to smoke, but right now it is legal, and government uses these backdoor maneuvers to try to, and that's what they did with cars. They don't want you to be in cars. So they do bike lanes and bus lanes. And then the next thing you do is you make the cars almost impossible to produce. Why or how? You create up these new standards. You know, we're so worried about climate change that you need to be able to get X number of miles per gallon on it. And you're like, well, I can't do that. Like, well, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. You can't comply. They did it with coal.
Yeah. Like,
we're not going to outlaw coal, as Barack Obama said. If I imitate Barack Obama, it is risky, right? I don't think I'm allowed to. But in Barack Obama's voice, he said, we're not going to make coal illegal. I'm just telling you, though, if you own a coal plant, I'm going to bankrupt you. Right? So that's what they were doing with cars. They didn't want you to have a car, so they made up bogus rules to punish the industry. And now people say, cars, $50,000 is the average cost of a car. How did we get here? We got here from all of this stuff aggregated on, and we're going in a good direction.
You know, Daniel Turner, it's amazing because they made it in such a way where they said, you know, you had to sell a certain amount of electric vehicles and people wouldn't want to buy them. So then what they would turn around and say is, well, if they're just sitting on the lots, then you can't sell gas powered vehicles. I mean, it was the biggest manipulation of the marketplace I've ever seen before. And yes, you're right. The government does this all the time with human behavior. At the same time, though, they also try to make a little money off it. See, at least the mafia, when they're trying to make money off your vices, they tell you. They don't hide from it. You know, the government, if they really thought smoking was that bad, they would have banned cigarettes. Like, they ban everything else. Like, they try to ban red meat and salt. But instead, they want you to smoke, actually. They just want you to pay more and more for it under the guise of, we're trying to get you to stop smoking. And then they say, yeah, and you know what? We're going to take some of that money and use it to the schools. I used to joke on the air, and I did this for years until one day a guy called up and started yelling at my producer because he thought I was serious. I said, I want to launch a program called Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em, targeted to children, a kids campaign, because I said they should be in the fight with us. They should, you know, it's for them that the buddies go to their schools. So I'd say Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em, kids. And I would do that for years. And then one guy calls up and he's like, I can't believe you're advocating smoking for children. And I'm like, I'm not really, wink, wink, but still, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And this is what government does, what big government does when they want to dictate a certain lifestyle choice. And to think, as we head into our 250th, to think our founders would think what type of light bulb you're allowed to have, what type of stove you're allowed to have, or the car. You know what? I've never had the chance to see, because we don't talk to each other left and right, right? The few times I've testified before Congress, they just yell and scream. And if you try to respond, they say, reclaiming my time. But I'd love to sit down with someone like, honestly, Rich, and do this. When Joe Biden said by executive order, by the year 2030, half of all cars in America that are sold have to be electric. Walk me through this. How do we implement this? At what point fully Chevy dealers say, I can't sell you that car because I've already sold 14 combustion engines and three EVs, and I can't sell a 15th. If I sell a 15th before this hits, do I get arrested? Right? Walk me through. You can't just pass these stupid executive orders and then wonder, I guess we'll figure it out. Well, that's what Biden did. Trying to fix. But that's a great example that you brought up, the cars. How would that have logically worked by executive order? And you know what? Reclaiming my time. That's how they would respond. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time. And we never have these conversations.
It's so true, Daniel Turner. It's so true. I always appreciate you coming on the show, buddy. Before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you one more question regarding the environment and all the nonsense with the global, you know, whatever. Why isn't it warmer? Because I'm freezing so bad I could almost sit like Gavin Newsom, if you know what I mean, because there's so much shrinkage.
And the good news, though, Rich, that is also because of climate change.
We didn't have one bad hurricane this season that made landfall in the United States. Not one.
You know why?
Climate change.
That's the joys of calling it climate change. It's the answer for everything.
Daniel Turner, power of the future, and follow him at Daniel Turner PTF. Thanks, brother.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yes, and we'll be there, like I said, December 19th. All right, so make sure you join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun on December 19th. So the question that I think we're all wondering right now is the effect of AI and all this stuff and on children, and whether or not we're going too far on this. And I saw this piece, and we're going to get the author on the show, but his whole point was, let's stop trying to ban teens from the internet. You know, and it made me think about what Daniel was saying about every time the government gets involved here, you create a backlash, an underground market, something like that. And the author of this piece says, you're being sold a bill of goods. A social panic has set in over how smartphones and social media are destroying us and ruining our children. In Australia this week, the hysteria reached its zenith with a ban on all social media for kids under the age of 16. These claims are especially difficult to defend because there are some pretty clear costs to these technologies. The thing is, after much rigorous investigation, the harms are relatively small. Yet in headlines, they are reported as major negative effects. And he says, let's consider one recent study of video watching. The study did show some costs at the core result, as the core result was that for each daily hour of video watching, a child experiences on average a reduction of non-cognitive skills of 0.091 standard deviations on average. But is the effect large? That is less than a tenth of a standard deviation, which is not a very large deviation from the average. And basically, it's nothing. It's like a statistical anomaly. It's a very modest change. And it's not the collapse of our civilization or the destruction of our youth. And then you've got Jonathan Haidt, while discussing video posts, the global destruction of the human ability to pay attention. And the author of this piece says that's an exaggeration. Warnings of the decline in test scores have been dramatically overstated in the United States National Assessment of Educational Progress. For instance, eighth grade reading and math scores dipped insignificantly from 2012 to 2020, falling only with COVID. I believe we are negligent in doing more to boost them, he writes, but again, the heavens are not falling. The question then becomes, how do you use these things for good? How do you use these things in a smart way? And I'll tell you from my own experience in this, my son the other night watched a history video all about Spain, and he was very interested in it. And, you know, for me personally, this is just me, and this may surprise you. Probably not, though, because we know each other pretty well. I'm not the best reader in the world. I like to hear things. Some people read. Some people like to listen to things. I have a wonderful app that I use called Speechify where I can it'll read it to me because I start reading something and I get distracted. Yeah, I'm not great with reading. I like to watch things and I like to listen. And everybody learns differently. The problem, I think, is a lot of times with kids, we treat every child the same. And so we have a teacher standing up and lecturing everybody all day in the classroom, and it doesn't work for everybody. So, for example, I wish when I was in school, I could have watched more videos. We would do videos. You know, they would back then wheel in the TV on the cart, you know, pop in a VHS tape. And then show us a video or something. I used to love those days because I would actually be able to be engaged and not just have to listen to a boring lecture or just read a textbook. So a lot more of this now is I think helpful for kids who don't just learn the standard way of just watching something. There's no doubt that it is that the current state of things is hurting attention spans. There's no doubt about that. You see it on videos. I can tell when I post a video, for example, to Instagram or one of the other sites, I can see how long people watch it. And I think I read somewhere that the average that people will watch a video on average is 2 seconds before they decide if they want to scroll or keep watching. And if they keep watching, they get to about 9 seconds until they lose interest and go on to something else. And there's classes being taught now on how to make videos that will keep people's interest for more than 20 seconds. I saw this the other day. I saw an advertisement for this. It said, do you want your viral videos to make you money? Because, you know, that's a whole industry now. You people put videos on YouTube and Facebook and they make money off of this. Well, then we'll teach you the fundamentals. So I watched a free class on this woman. And she said, the goal here, if you're going to make money, is you got to get people to watch for longer than 20 seconds. And I thought, 20 seconds? Like, that's amazing. We in radio, of course, and I don't know. I think they've changed a lot of this over the years. But at one point, it was 15 minutes, quarter hour. You keep the audience for a quarter hour. If you can roll them into the next quarter, you win. I think they've changed some of that. And obviously now with the advent of streaming and podcasting, that kind of model sort of goes out the window anyway, unless you're doing the traditional over-the-air kind of ratings. I mean, they can use ratings for the streaming services and everything like that as well. But it's just it's a different world in terms of how people are consuming content. Now, getting back to our kids, when you've got so much coming at you in a million different ways, it makes sense that attention spans are going to, there's going to be more competition for those attention spans. I don't know. I really don't know. And that's why we have a guest coming up on this, because I do want to hear his perspective on this, because he thinks the laptops that we're giving our kids in schools are destroying their brains. What I want to know is it the fact that all of this is actually destroying attention spans? Or is it just that, like in any other competitive marketplace now, there's so much supply that we don't want to waste our time with something that does not pique our interest, and we don't have to? Because in the past, while you had to watch something because there really was nothing else on, you now you're like, well, boom, and you're onto something. So is it the erosion of attention span? Is it the absolute supply in the marketplace of so much content, and now you've got limited time, so you're like, well, you know what? I'm going to scroll and scroll and scroll. I'm sure it's probably a combination of both. I'm sure that probably there's something about the scrolling that probably erodes attention spans. But then again, I don't know, because if you, some of these like podcasters, for example, 2.5 hours, 3 hours, they have these shows. Like Andrew Huberman is a great example of this. He's a neuro guy. He's a professor of ophthalmology, and he does a lot of videos on health and human behavior. He gets millions of views on his YouTube videos and his podcast, millions of views. 2.5 hours, 3 hours, just him talking. He sometimes has guests on, but usually it's just him talking for the entire time. And people listen. Rogan does his 2.5 hour podcast and millions of downloads. So I don't know. I think the reality is that, like in any other marketplace, right now, we're just oversaturated with content. And eventually, at some point, I look at it like a funnel. Eventually, at some point, the crap gets funneled out, or the good stuff gets funneled out, depending on how you want to look at it, if you're an optimist or a pessimist. But, and then the cream has to rise to the top. I think there's just this can't last where there's so much content out there. And I think what will start happening is, and you see this already, people pick what they like, and then they double down on it. And then they are now trying to avoid just getting a billion things thrown their way every 2 seconds. So that may also explain why people don't last long on things, because there's just so much of it out there. They're like, you know what? I'd rather go and listen to an engaging 1 hour, or in this case, 4 hour podcast, learn something, hear some laughs, get a new perspective on things, than scroll and watch a stupid 60-second TikTok thing that's going to make me dumber. Now, whether or not it actually makes me dumber, whether or not it actually destroys gray matter in my brain, I don't know. But in the 2.5 hour Andrew Huberman podcast that I watched on YouTube, where he talked about how alcohol destroys gray matter, I was fascinated by it and watched the whole thing. It didn't make me stop drinking, mind you, but it did. But it was fascinating. So I think there's something to that. Kids are probably more likely than adults to just scroll and scroll, because that's the world they're growing up in. Whether or not it's damaging their brains or not, I don't know. But is it damaging test scores? I think the data on that is yes, when used in the classroom, because I think what you have is a situation, unfortunately. And this is why I'm excited that we have this guest coming up. I think the problem is that you we're using laptops in many ways as a substitute for teaching. And just like how not everybody is good at learning by sitting at their desk and listening to a lecture or reading in a textbook, not everybody's good at learning online either, because there's too many chances for distraction. There's too many ways for them to go down another road. And then the other problem, of course, is that as a parent, it makes it more difficult to know what your kids are doing if the school gives them a laptop, versus if you provide them a phone and you have the access to the apps, the access to everything else, you have more control. And these smartphone companies are designing them now in a way, and there's all kinds of ones that are popping up, to give parents absolute control and know exactly what their kids are doing online 24/7. So you know exactly who they're talking to. You can read their messages. You can see and you can make limits and set limits and do all these other things too. But you can't do that with the school laptop, which is another problem. So we'll talk about that as the show continues today. But just to bring it back to what Turner was saying, in like every other market, though, whenever there's a ban, there's somebody who comes around to fill the void left by that ban, which is why I don't think social media bans are the answer, because just like banning whatever, somebody will come along to fill that ban. And typically when that happens, it's usually worse. It very rarely results in something that is a positive in that sense. Let me tell you about Emmons Roofing and Siding. Winter is here. You might have noticed. Despite all the claims of global warming, it's still freaking cold out, and we're expected to get a lot of snow this winter. Blame climate change. So what you should do is reach out to my friends at Emmons Roofing, emmonsroofing.com. They'll take great care of your home, because protection and peace of mind are paramount for your home, and that's what you need. You need to make sure that you are ready to go with Emmons, all right? EmmonsRoofing.com. Don't wait. Don't get into a situation where you get bad storms and you didn't deal with your roof, and now you got a major, major problem. Emmons is Owens Corning Platinum Certified, the best in the business. You're going to get a lifetime warranty on your roof, a lifetime warranty on the materials and the workmanship as well. Plus, those shingles are made right in New Jersey, the Owens Corning shingles, the best in the business. So trust the local team at Emmons. They are local, community-based, family-owned and operated, and they've done great work on my home, two different homes, over the course of 12 years. So you can trust them just like I trust them every step of the way. EmmonsRoofing.com, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So I get it now. And I was wondering this for a long time. You know, I have the physical copy of the New York Post here in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers. And I read it, and I'm able to remember things a lot more when I read on the physical paper versus when I read online. I didn't know why until I printed out the physical paper from my guest. And I think I have an understanding now of the reason for that. So I'm very happy to welcome the show. And this is I'm really happy that he's joining us here. And this is the Big Story of the Hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental, two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. He is the author of This, The Digital Delusion, How Classroom Technology Harms Our Kids' Learning and How to Help Them Thrive Again. Dr. Jared Cooney Horvath, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm doing great.
So I get it now. When we read from paper versus when we read something on the screen, much like a global positioning system, the hippocampus builds a mental map. You got to explain that to me, because now it's like an aha moment in my life, to be honest with you.
I love it. So the way I always think about it, and when I was growing up, there was a video game I used to play called Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those first video games that, instead of just like a line like Mario where you'd go through it, it was a big world and you could go anywhere you want. And so to make sure you never got lost, that little video game had a map in the corner at all times that was updating, telling you where you were. Our brain has that same map. And any time we make a memory for anything new, it will become stamped with a three-dimensional location. Where in space did this event occur? So space is massive when it comes to our memory. When we read a physical book, exactly like you were just saying, physical books have a three-dimensional location. Until this book burns into dust, the word "the" will be halfway through left page, top left-hand side. It ain't going nowhere. But if I read that same thing on a screen, the word "the" starts at the bottom, will go through the middle, will go out the top. There is no three-dimensional location, so an entire aspect of human memory formation is gone. So this is even, basically, I always tell like my students, if you did nothing different with your life except to print things out and read them, you will remember more, comprehend better, and you will have deeper memories for things than if you continue to live on a screen and just read from there.
I know that for me, for my life, absolutely 100%, no doubt about that. I've also found something else out too, and tell me if I'm onto something here. When I have to write notes, I've found that when I write them on physical paper, I'm able to remember them way more than if I type them. So in other words, if I got to go to a TV hit and they ask me for talking points and I type them to the producer and I hit send, which is what I typically have to do, I often, after the TV hit, goes, "Oh, I forgot to say that line. And so what I've been doing lately is I've been writing them out. And is there a connection between that, between my hand physically using a pen, writing those thoughts out, and then my memory?
Absolutely. So you've got a kind of a three-prong bonus when it comes to handwriting. Is one is exactly that. The nuance of handwriting versus the uniformity of typing. Every letter we do, there's different pressure, there's different shapes. That's being imprinted as well. Versus every time I press the letter L, doesn't matter if I do it hard or soft, comes out the same. You get kind of a weaker memory trace due to the uniformity of typing. Add to that the space, right? When we write, every piece of paper has its own spatial dimensions. So if you take your notes in a notebook, you'll hear this from a lot of college kids, is they might not remember verbatim what they wrote, but they'll remember what the page looked like and how it was organized. And if they can remember one thing from the page, they can then reconstruct the rest of the page. That's that spatial element coming back in. And you can also then say it's where we send our thinking. A very interesting thing about human learning is we will only remember what we are focused on. When we are typing, and let's just say we're taking notes in a classroom, typically we're going to be focused on the notes, the sound and the order of the words. Did I hear it? Did I write it? Like a courtroom stenographer, we just get all that information down. But when we're writing, no one can handwrite as fast as people are speaking around them. So you already have to process meaning. If you're taking notes by hand, say, because you can't get every word, you're already sussing out what are the themes, what are the concepts. Oh, and that's why handwritten notes are usually so gross. You got arrows and crosses because you're processing the deeper meaning. So right. the research on note taking and handwriting versus typing is pretty massive when it comes to memory and performance.
So Dr. Jared Cooney Horvath, as I printed out your article here today, how classroom technology harms our kids' learning and how to help them thrive again. I'll tell you my situation with my 11-year-old son. He got a school-issued laptop. He has to bring it home with him every night. He has to charge it. Now, there are often times where we catch him playing games on there. We can't limit it in terms of what he's able to do. And the school has no settings on there. And apparently they can't, although we've asked him. But even beyond just the fact of him having this laptop, which now is one more thing we've got to keep tabs on, it's actually hurting his learning ability because he's probably using that laptop a whole lot more than he's writing things down. And even he's probably reading things online versus reading physical articles. Like, he doesn't really have books. Everything is online nowadays.
And that's when schools, and there's several of them more than last year, there's a lot of schools pulling the tech back now. And when you go back to handwritten homework, learning goes up. When you go back to books, learning goes up. It's one of the scarier things we found is, since we've been recording cognitive abilities, things like memory, general IQ, attention, every generation has improved upon their parents. So from the early 1900s, when this all started, every generation does better than their parents, which is exactly what we want. We want kids that are sharper, faster, healthier, happier than we are. Gen Z, our kids, they're the first ones ever to go lower than us, significantly so. And Gen Alpha is doing worse. They're losing basic things. They're losing memory. They're losing IQ. How are they losing all this stuff? We keep looking for culprits and we keep coming back to one big thing. It's the tool we're using. Somehow, and we can go into some of the mechanisms here, but somehow these tools simply do not resonate with how human beings learn and evolve and develop. They do things. I mean, by all means, we can have fun on them, but having fun is very different than learning and learning how to think. And these tools just don't seem suited for that task.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I am not anti-technology. I mean, I was saying earlier that for me, when I was a kid, I had a hard time just sitting there listening to a lecture. And I'm not a great reader in the sense that it's a lot of times as I read. So I like to listen to things and I process, using my ears a lot better sometimes than my eyes. And I know there are people who are like that. And I also think there's you can watch a video or something like that and you can learn a lot from that. And I think there's merit in that. I mean, certainly it can be a good teaching tool. So how do we balance that? Because since not everybody can learn really, really well by just reading necessarily or listening to a lecture, how do we use these devices in a way that can help people who might be challenged in the traditional way? Because, back in the day, they would say to a kid like me, oh, you're having a tough time listening to this boring lecture or you're having a tough time reading that boring textbook. Well, let's give you Ritalin or something like that. But maybe that wasn't the answer. Maybe we should have found a way to challenge me, a way to make it more exciting and more engaging. Can technology do that?
That is technology's supposed big selling point, is that it can adapt to what every kid needs and give them exactly what they want. The trick with that is we've learned very much, and it's going to sound flippant, but it's very similar. I've got a 2.5-year-old girl. If it was up to her, she would eat cookies all day, every day. Chocolate chip cookies, the first thing out of her mouth when she wakes up, last thing when she goes to bed. But I know better than her as the adult what she needs to develop in a healthy manner.
Right.
It's the same thing with schools, is once we start to cater to every kid's preference, preferences are very rarely aligned with what we need to grow. Consider the gym. If you go to the gym and you had a nice seamless time at the gym and everything was easy and smooth, you probably didn't work out. But if you go to the gym and it was hard and you had to struggle and you had to fight, that probably means you're getting stronger. And it kind of tends to be similar things with school. So when tech comes in and they use tech to basically reduce friction for all students, that's another reason why, unfortunately, learning goes down. So if you want to use these tools effectively, they have to be highly deliberate when you use them. Right now, kids have them. 88% of districts have one-to-one computers. They're just there. So at any time, a teacher's like, let's do something, pull out your computer. We got 5 minutes, pull out your computer. Let's watch a video. Back in the day, we used to have a computer lab, just like a wood shop, which meant if you wanted to use a computer, that teacher had to deliberately decide, today is the day I'm going to get my kids up, sign out that lab, no other teacher can use it, I'm going to walk you across campus, we're going to do it. Once you add that difficulty, that deliberation to it, that's when you can start to see benefit, because that's when teachers are going to start to care again. We only have 20 minutes on a computer per week, we're going to use it well versus unlimited time. Does that kind of make sense?
Absolutely, it does. And now I start to wonder how much of this becomes a substitute for teachers really being prepared to teach a class. If they can just turn around and they can just say, hey, open up your computer and let's watch a video on Christopher Columbus versus me giving a lecture on Christopher Columbus. Well, I mean, it kind of makes my job a lot easier, right?
And I worry about the next generation, because I think if you go back to the 90s, so the golden age of education was the 90s. We had the same problems then as we do now. We had some kids who were excelling, some kids who were struggling. How do we meet everyone? Yet teachers managed to address that in an analog fashion, and the results were so much better than what we're seeing right now. I worry that the next generation of teachers thinks it's impossible to do that kind of stuff without tech. Like I told my nieces the other day, I said, look, human beings, we're incredible, right? We built the atom bomb without a single computer. Go to Rome. We built the aqueducts. We built the mechanical clock. Everything we've done without a computer. We went to the moon with a computer that has less processing power than one of those singing birthday cards today. We don't need computers. Yet I think the next generation and the next generation of teachers, because they've only had computers, don't recognize that you have the power to adapt to 30 people live without use of this tool.
So let me ask you, as we're talking about this, we gave students laptops and took away their brains. Decades of data show a clear pattern. The more schools digitize, the worse students perform. So we're not talking about, you know, things that are really subjective, like emotions and things like that. Because you can debate whether or not these things are causing our kids depression and anxiety and all these things. But you can't. I mean, the data you have here is not the kind of thing that you can really say is subjective. I mean, you've looked at this and you've gone through this, and you can definitively show that test scores have gone down, but not just test scores, right? I mean, the other things have gone down as well. The ability of students' comprehension has gone down. And then you've also looked at the ability of people to read versus skimming, which I think is also fascinating how you have this here in this piece of paper that I, again, printed out. So what can we know? What does the data tell us in a way that's not? Because I think what's getting lost right now is you've got a very passionate movement of people who hate smartphones, hate these social media apps. They want them banned. They want these apps banned. And they're very passionate about it for a lot of different reasons. I mean, I saw a congressional testimony, you know, a mom whose kid, what a horrible tragedy, took their life, and ChatGPT kind of encouraged them to do it. Another mom's talking about how her daughter was so self-conscious of her body after being on Instagram, she took her life. There's that aspect of it, obviously, but a lot of that is subjective. And as that debate's going on, I think what's getting lost in all this, though, is the fact that you can look at raw data of how students are doing academically, and you can make a determination of whether or not devices and computers are actually helping or hurting. It's not the kind of, you can leave emotion out of the door here on this, which is why I wanted you on the show.
And that's why I always say there's so much wrong with tech in schools. They're spying on us. They're building profiles of our kids, well-being measures. But I always imagine there are going to be a subset of parents who don't care. Yes, it might be spying on my kid. So long as it's helping them learn better and might help them get a better job, spy away. So long as you go ahead, build a profile if it's helping them learn better. So I always said tech's final leg that it's standing on is we make learning better. So if we can come through and say since 2002, when the very first one-to-one computer program was introduced in the U.S., everything has gone down. Everything has gone down. There's only one biological measure that's gone up, and that is the ability to rapidly analyze visual scenes. So basically, our kids are better at flitting between things than we are. Whoop-de-doo. That's not a skill that I want my kid to have, but there you go. This is that hard line where we can say your final selling point, that at least we're making kids better, faster, stronger, smarter, is just not true. You're making kids dumber. And what we're doing, I hate to use the term dumber, but basically what we're doing. We're now changing definitions to try and hide the fact that our kids are doing worse. So here's an example. So many of your listeners will have taken the SATs before. And when we took the SATs, it had a reading comprehension section. Here's five passages of about 750 words each. Answer 10 to 12 inference questions about it. Go to the next one. Sweet. This year, well, last year, the SATs went digital. They moved online, and they still have a reading comprehension section, except now kids get 54 single sentences, about 75 words each. They read one sentence, there is one question about that sentence, go to the next one. Read one sentence, one question about that sentence, go to the next. They've basically said our kids can no longer do what we used to call reading comprehension, so we're just going to change the definition of it, and we're going to say it's the same thing. So we're doing this really weird thing where tech is harming our development, and instead of ditching the tech, we're changing the definitions to make it look like they're still good. And that's what scares the daylights out of me, that we might not even notice how poorly we're doing anymore.
What's the answer then? I mean, we're at this point now. You said some districts are pushing back on this finally. So good. I say good. And I want my district to push away on this. And you know, I mean, we can leave the school choice debate out of it. But just if you're in a district where the school's issued laptops and these kids are on the laptops all day and you're a parent and you don't like it, what do you do?
I hate to bring up the book, but the last three chapters of the book are all these kind of rules, these lessons of what do we need to do as parents? What do we need to do as teachers to kind of push back against this machine? And it's from the parent angle, from our personal angle, it just basically starts with setting expectations at home. That's when we buy a printer and we say, yeah, cool, you got a laptop. Bad news, we're printing everything out here. That's when we go back to what's called recall versus recognition. Tech, by and large, forces us to just access information. But human memory works on accessing information from your own brain. We call that recall. So as an example, everyone listening right now will remember their best friend's phone number from growing up. Mine is 740-7857. Haven't called that in 35 years, but I know it. Most of your listeners won't know.
867-5309. Jenny was her name.
Oh, the best best friend of all time. Now, try and remember your best friend's phone number now. I got no clue. I know where it is, but I don't know what it is. And the more we offload our memory onto tools, the worse our memory becomes. So at home, where can we bring in discussions? Study with our kids that force them to use flashcards in a difficult way. We bring recall back. And I think the big push then is going to be government-wise, opt-in, opt-out. Right now, there's no legal opt-out. Mm. It's going to come in the next couple of months in a couple states. They're going to put bills forward to say parents have the legal right to say no to tech.
Good.
I think that is going to be a huge shot over the bow. Because if even 10% of parents say, no, we're not going to do it, now schools have to scramble to do analog and digital. And once they're doing both, they're going to realize just how much more powerful the analog stuff is. And I think they're going to start veering in that direction. That's my hope.
Before I let you go, and I do want to mention your book again, The Digital Delusion, How Classroom Technology Harms Our Kids' Learning and How to Help Them Thrive Again, Dr. Jared Cooney Horvath. I want to read your whole book. But the question I have for you, though, is up until this conversation, I was prepared to read it on my Kindle. And now after this, I'm serious. I'm rethinking that. I'm thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't even read things on a Kindle.
A Kindle is exactly where you'd expect it to be. If hardcover books are here for learning and scrolling a PDF is way over here for learning, Kindle sits right in between. It's not as bad as a PDF, but it's not as good as the hardcover. And the reason for it, go back to space, books have that third dimension. We always know how deep into a book we are. Kindles will tell you you're 10% in, but you never get that feeling. And the other thing is go back to recall. When I go home at night and I see my book on my bed shelf and I see the cover of the book I'm reading, I start doing recall. I'm like, oh, yeah, what did I read last night? Oh, that character was about to do that. Can't wait to do it. Kindle doesn't have that kind of cover. It's just every time I look at a Kindle, it's the same brown thing. I never get those moments throughout the day that force me to recall. So you get a little memory hit there. So I'd say, man, Kindle's going to be better than just downloading a PDF. But if you can, I always say print it out. Hard copy is going to be better for everything.
The other problem is it's very difficult for an author to sign someone's Kindle book without destroying the actual device. Because I'd love for one day for you to sign my copy of your Yeah, right. I mean, you know, sign this, professor. You know, and then just now, thanks. You just ruined my Kindle, you jerk. You know what I mean? But there is something about when I did an event with Jack Carr, who's a international best-selling author, and everybody's bringing their hardcover copies over for him to sign. And you know, my wife and I talked about getting our daughter a Kindle, and I said I don't want her to. She loves reading. She's 9 years old. She loves reading these books. She's just having so much joy with them, and she loves turning the page, and she loves earmarking the page. And I said, as long as she loves doing that, I don't want to take that away from her. And now that we've had this conversation, it reinforces that for me. And then from the perspective of you as an author, to think, hey, you know, I can't sign these things if they're not physical copies of things. And the joy that not only the people who came to Jack's event got when he signed their book, but the joy that the author got from signing that book to them. I mean, who can I make it out to? And I mean, there's also that aspect of this too that makes a connection between the reader and the author that can also go away if we don't have physical books anymore.
Do you want to hear one of the weirdest stats ever? And I'm sorry to go long, but
no, please go ahead.
One of the best predictions we have for how a high schooler will perform on exit exams. So basically how you're going to perform on your SATs, your ACTs. One of the best predictors we have is the number of hard copy books in your house on the day you were born. That's it. This is how important. If you have a Kindle, there will be no hard copy book, so things get a little wonky. But the connection is families that read tend to care about education and growth and development, and they're going to push their kids to continue to read, and they're going to flourish. Parents who don't care that much about reading and they don't have books in the house, I'm sure they care about learning, but they're just not going to push it in the same way. So the more we can be surrounded by this material that says, thinking is okay, slow down, take your time to read, that's all good stuff, the better we're going to push them down that kind of intelligent path.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show today. This has been great. The Digital Delusion, How Classroom Technology Harms Our Kids' Learning and How to Help Them Thrive Again, Dr. Jared Cooney Horvath. I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
You too. And I love the idea of a parent opt out whether or not you want to have technology in the classroom. I think that is fantastic. That's a great idea. Great solution. He was terrific, Matt. Thank you for booking him, even though it was my idea. Nevertheless, just kidding. All right, listen, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey is your go-to place for this coming holiday season. You know why? Because they've got everything you can imagine. You save 10% off room rates and even more depending on how long you stay with the Ocean Splash Family Getaway Package. You know why? Because your kids are going to be off from school. So they're going to have a break and they're going to need something to do. And do you want them on the devices all day? No. So have them come to Cape May. Do the indoor heated saltwater pool. You go and see all the wonderful Christmas decorations that are set up in Cape May. There's a carousel. There's Santa and hot chocolate. Go shopping with them. Family time together. That's what you'll get at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. The longer you stay, the more you save. And every package includes breakfast, which is great because kids got to eat. It's just a great family place to be, a great place for a weekend getaway. And we'll be back there on December 19th for our next live show. The other thing, too, that I want you to think about is New Year's Eve, because the Grand Hotel has an amazing New Year's Eve celebration coming up. And that New Year's Eve celebration includes a 5-hour premium open bar, surf and turf dinner, dancing and music and champagne toast at midnight, along with hors d'oeuvres and so much more. So check out the website for all the details. Always book direct with them for the best rates, and we'll see you on December 19th for our next and final live show of the year, our Christmas spectacular, GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.